Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this.
Today's webinar is Love Will Keep Us Together, the love standing for living our values every day. And it's super important. Values are foundational. We're building on the foundation that we've already started in this webinar series. So in webinar one, we taught you how to process those crazy emotions that were coming up from COVID and to move forward with a little bit more purpose. And in webinar two, we talked about how to handle your teams in a more creative way to keep people engaged, right? Tools like coaching and designing new team agreements and new roles. So our goal for today's webinar is to build upon that and do a few different things to continue to boost the muscles of our psychological immune system. One, identify and kind of toss out on their head some of these saboteur negative thought patterns that are getting in our way. Get really more in touch with our values and our best selves, which are very much intertwined. And to use those things to redefine what success looks and feels like right now, because our goals, by the very nature of this time, have to be different than what they are during normal times. And when we talk about values, it's a North Star, and they're especially important when we get derailed. One of the biggest derailers that we have live in our own heads, and you can call it by many different names. We're going to refer to it as the inner critic. In today's webinar, these are those annoying voices that, you know, I mean, hopefully not as bad as these movie characters that are like, you know, doing the stabbing and attacking you in the shower. And
but that's possible. That's possible too.
Right. It might feel that bad, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the voices that they get louder as you try to accomplish bigger and bigger goals. And they feel like they're in your head telling you, you know, who do you think you are to do this? And you're not as good as the other people. And they are pulling us back. And so essentially what's happening is, if you remember back from webinar one, when we talked about the amygdala hijack, the fear center of our brain gets completely activated, lights up big time by these inner critics. And just a little history of it, these inner critics were born when we were children. And at that point in our lives, they served us. They were protecting us. They kind of filled in the blank on the sentence, like, to keep me safe and successful, I need to blank. But as we grew up, we didn't need that anymore because we could think for ourselves. But those inner critic voices stayed really loud. And instead of being just like a small warning system that they should be, they become complete derailers.
Yeah. And Shaney, one more thing that I want to add to that great description is that when we're in crisis or during challenging times, which of course we all are now, everyone in the world is, that is when these inner critics get loudest. And so it's normal that we're going to hear those voices. My inner critic's name is Anxieta, and she just has this tornado of crazy imperfection coming out of her head. And so she's like, you need to be productive. You need to get this done. So if the voices seem louder, you're in good company.
Absolutely. And my inner critic's name is Goldman Sachs. I'm always like comparing, you know, anything to my Goldman days. Anyway. Some of the other inner critics that tend to be really common, there's zillions of them really, I'm just going to name a few of them to kind of get us in the inner critic mood, right? People pleasing, perfectionism, I also own that inner critic, self-judgment, fear of failure, shame, insecurity, fear of change, need for external validation, victim, and here's the thing, we can't get rid of them, right? They're part of our experience. They're part of who we are, but we can dial down the volume. And, you know, kind of the fun way we want to play with that today is to serve them an eviction notice. Like,
get out.
Get them out of the house that is our brain. And we're not going to spend too much time focusing on this, but we did want to touch upon a few of the many ways to disengage or evict that inner critic. One of my favorites is opposite day. If the inner critic is telling you something, do the opposite. If it's saying, you can't do that, you're not good enough, go freaking do it. Give it a cup of tea, like sit it down, treat it nicely, and then maybe it'll tone down. Send it for a nap or give it a new job. Just like give it something else to do, then nag you. And then of course we've got the STAR exercise for emotional grounding that we taught you in webinar one. When you're feeling this inner critic, stop, because the inner critic doesn't really love you.
Nice tie-in. We didn't even practice that.
Stop, tune in to what's happening, just allow it, and then reflect, and then hopefully we can move on. And if you want, you know, crumple up a piece of paper and throw it across the room.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to segue from the inner critic that we want to disengage with and connect with our inner superhero. And this slide does show the traditional superheroes, but it can be called your best self. That's what we're going to refer to it as today. You also can call it your inner leader or your inner sage. And again, we're trying to rewire our brain, our neural pathways, to not go to that place of amygdala hijack or fear or insecurity, and instead to go to this place of empowerment. And everybody has their own either one or two or 10 ways that they can do it. So you can relate to a superhero. There are also other ones that I have. So for those Vikings fans out there, I actually have this in my office. So when I need to be tough and strong, I channel this really strong personality. And then it makes me feel invincible. So again, we're getting out of our thinking mind, and especially with high achievers, we tend to think, well, I'm smart and I should know better and I should be more confident, but that doesn't really change how we feel. So these tools, and the reason we bring in funny sayings and cartoon characters, is because we're trying to connect to something in our bodies, in our hearts, that make us laugh. Because actually when we do laugh and have fun, it releases certain chemicals that increase the opportunity for neuroplasticity. So don't make me kick your ass is very empowering to me. Yeah. Some of you might also prefer a more calm, beautiful landscape to connect you to your peaceful self. So again, it's really finding what works for you. And again, there's a lot we could talk about with this. Today, we wanted to do a quick visualization just to give you a taste of how you can connect with this part, this best part of yourself. So for those of you who think, oh, well, I don't visualize, that's not me, you can just make it up. Visualization is just another name for it. Just close your eyes and make something up. If you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, you can just glance down. I'm going to close my eyes so I can be with you all in this visualization.
Yes. So, and I'm just going to own that I have a tough time with visualizations, which is actually one of the reasons I like doing them, because the fact that I resist them means there's something there for me.
Yeah. Stepping out of your comfort zone, right? Which also changes those neural pathways. So good addition there. All right. Well, why don't we, before we close our eyes or look down, I want everyone to think about a time, either in their personal life or professional life, when they felt successful, and successful as defined by what it is to you. So you felt empowered, you felt like you were showing up as this version of your best self, you weren't judging yourself, you were thinking, wow, you know what, I'm amazing. I'm really showing up here. And it, again, it can be a big presentation you did at work. It can be having coffee with your best friend where you felt like, I am being authentically me. So it's not that important which moment you pick. Just pick a moment where you weren't judging yourself and you weren't doubting yourself. So I'll give everyone a couple seconds to come up with that. And again, it can be 10 years ago. It can be yesterday. All right. Everybody then close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And if not, you can just look down and connect with your breathing. And as we did in the first webinar, we can imagine that as we inhale, Our breath is a little ball of light that comes up from the base of our spine, all the way up to the top of the head. And then as we exhale, it comes down. And if there are thoughts that come up, you can just notice them and let them swim by and give yourself permission to simply focus on your breathing right now. Anything else you're worried about will still be here at the end. So think about that moment that you recalled when you felt successful and authentically yourself. And instead of just thinking about it, return to that moment. You're seeing out through your eyes as if you were in that moment when you were showing up as your best self. Notice who else is in the room, what they're wearing. You can notice what you're wearing, if you're sitting or standing. And notice what sounds are being made, what people are saying. Maybe they're talking to you or you're talking to them. And again, you're not judging, you're not worrying about what it means. You're just noticing what it's like to be in this moment. You can notice what the air temperature is, how it feels on your skin. And put your hands on your core, on your stomach, and see what sensations you notice in your body. Again, there's nothing to do. You're just noticing what your core feels like. You can notice what your shoulders feel like. And you're giving yourself permission to just feel what it feels like to show up as your best self. With the knowledge that this place inside of you is always there for you. And all you need to do is access it. It's always here, regardless of what's happening around you. So notice if any images come up or any sensations. And take one more breath here, and then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. So welcome back, everyone. Who would like to unmute themselves and share something about just anything, what that experience was like, anything they might have discovered? Or you can mention it in the chat. Someone said awesome. I'm glad that was awesome for you. Who would like to?
I will.
Yeah.
Hi,
Paige.
I was helping my daughter with the school project and she needed it immediately.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. So what was that like for you, Paige?
Oh, I loved it. I meditate daily, especially right now. It's an absolute game changer, even just 10 minutes that I do every morning. But I went to a time when I was on stage and having just presented one of my films, I'm a filmmaker, and just visualizing the audience and the happiness it brought them and receiving those accolades and the self-judgment antithesis of that is often that I question, can I do that again? You know, that was before, this is now. So it was really freeing to go back and be in that moment, just receiving that love from that really large audience and being up on stage and given that, you know, the seeing your film, seeing my film screened in front of an audience who loved it.
Beautiful. You know,
Now you just take that memory and give the love to yourself.
Yeah.
Say that again. I'm sorry, Shani. Say that again.
So now you get to take that memory that you can conjure up and give that love to yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, very true. Because every time I embark on a new project, I worry, can I do it? Am I a fraud? Will I ever?
Of course.
Then, now, you know.
And Paige, is there a sensation in your body that you felt as you were in this moment?
Yeah, it was right here, like lower chest, a lightness, a real lightness, and almost like a light emanating from that spot. Right.
That's beautiful.
Right here.
Yeah. And so what, we're trying, that's so amazing. Thank you. I love the visual too. And again, when we feel things in our body and we do the visual and it's something we can repeat that, and I'm getting the chills even doing your motion because it feels so empowering, that can reconnect you to this feeling. And it's really, it's independent of what's happening around us, right? So I like to give this the boyfriend analogy from when I was a teenager, which is like, oh, I'll never have a boyfriend. Oh my God, I'm so not pretty, blah, blah, blah. And then I get a boyfriend and then all of a sudden I'm confident and I'm going into, you know, all these stores and trying on makeup and cute clothes. And then all of a sudden I'm getting all this attention. And I joke, I'm like, it's not like I was the same person before and after I got the boyfriend. It's not like the boyfriend police were going to say like, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I saw you feeling pretty, but you don't have a boyfriend. So the question is like, how, and it's the same with people who get laid off or have a bad review. You are your amazing self. And that comes from inside. And, you know, stuff is going to happen, but how do we connect to that power and that beauty and that strength, regardless of external circumstances? I see a lot of great things in the chat room about feeling empowered, feeling joy and passion and impact and supporting friends during difficult times, feeling the sensation in the body. And that's what we're trying to get to. Yeah. Does someone else want to share their experience? And again, the more you talk about it, the more you are greasing those neural pathways to your awesomeness. So we ask to share because we love sharing. And when you verbalize these things, that's another way that you are, again, strengthening that muscle of self-empowerment.
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody? It's okay if you don't. All right. Well, let's move on to, just as we did with the inner critic, how can we connect with our best self? So what are some tools that we can use to connect with this feeling of empowerment? Here we see the beautiful Shani in her rock climbing element. So one of the ways we can do that is through visual things like photographs. If there's a moment when you felt really empowered, and you, like Shani, tell us, like when you see that photograph, what is the impact on your emotions and your sensations and things like that?
It completely takes me to like the rock climber version of myself, which is free and focused and present in the moment because I'm enjoying the beautiful scenery and the fresh air and the challenge of figuring out how I'm gonna get up the pitch. And it's actually rock climbing is a value for me, even though it sounds like a sport. For me, it's a value because of what it represents, and it takes me to that place of I can do anything and I can be a badass, and something that I'm supposed to be scared of, I have equanimity.
Yeah.
And then of course if all else fails, I go visit with my cats, Elaine and
Kramer. The kitty. So that's your kitty.
Side of
right. Yeah. And again, it, you can need different versions of empowerment for different times. So I have that Viking one when I need to, you know, be all tough. And then I can channel something more peaceful when I want to feel peaceful. And so here is a list. And again, the list is endless and it really is what connects you to your power. Just some ideas are one, the visualization. So the one that we just did, everyone now has hopefully at least one example of when they felt empowered. So you can do that visualization. You can do it before a scary meeting, a presentation, or the way that we exercise this muscle is to do it regularly. So if you spend 2 minutes a day connecting to your empowered place, your body and your energy knows how to do it and you become more resilient, more empowered, etc. So we have visualization, we have photos or screensavers. I remember when I was taking a coaching class once, we were doing this kind of exercise, and the person, my partner, asked me, you know, what makes you laugh? What makes you feel really amazing? And I said, oh, my best friend from high school, from elementary school, actually. And then I looked at my phone. This was when my kids were teenagers and there was a lot of chaos. And I had a picture of my kids because I was like, all good moms, of course, have pictures of their kids on their phones. And I was thinking, I love my kids. And when I see those pictures, it totally stressed me out because we were having all this drama. And so I put a picture of my best friend making a funny face on my phone. And every time I saw it, I would feel that laughter and that connection and that extreme authenticity. A mantra can be good, just a saying that makes you feel empowered. I'm a badass, or I am light, or whatever works for you. Music is another thing. Obviously, we're into the dance party and the music, and that can really connect you with something powerful. A physical pose, a power pose. Obviously, if you're sitting like this with your head down and your shoulders slumped, you're gonna feel very different from if you're standing or saluting something. And then again, webinar one, when we reviewed some box breathing and the GAIN tool, those are tools that you can use to help connect you to a more grounded place or a place where you're feeling more productive.
Yeah.
All right.
And these are the tools for evicting our inner critics and connecting to our best selves are in the handout that we'll share in the chat room before the end of the webinar.
Right. And it's also on the website that was in your invitation. So if you go to the website, any of the webinars that have happened already have the handouts.
Yep. So values, that's the topic of today's webinars. And as we've talked about, it's our North Star. It's a way of operating in life, and they're very unique, and we need them in order to sustain our personal and professional lives and our relationships. And as we've already seen in a short time, our mindset can really either allow us better access to our values when we're in our best self, or they can inhibit our access to our values when we've got that inner critic mindset. So we're gonna spend the rest of the webinar talking about not our individual values, because that's like a lifetime journey and we could spend days, weeks, months on that. But we're gonna actually spend our time on organizational and team values. Because again, we're leadership consultants.
Yay!
And we love this slide, Dave Ramsey's culture tree, this graphic, for just one simple reason. You can see that the core values of the team or the organization are the roots. So what does that mean? They have to be nourished and fed and watered. They have to be strong, or else the tree is gonna die, right? And so that is foundational. And we need to always be making sure that our tree is stabilized by the values, not the values of the tree next to us or in the forest across the street. Yeah, our values, our roots.
Yeah. And Shani, this is just if you can go back to the tree for a sec.
Yeah.
It's reminding me of what we've been talking about in past webinars, that in terms of operating principles, results, and all the doing things, it can be really tempting, especially in times of crisis, to worry about the tasks and we need to get things done. And what we're saying, as we said, when we can show up as more of a coach, is we really need to address these values and beliefs and connect with people as people, or else all that other stuff is not gonna work.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for adding that. Okay. So simply put, organizational and team values, that is really what forms the culture and dictates the behaviors. They are an important reference point for all types of decision, whether they're routine daily decisions or longer term strategic decisions. In fact, when Jennifer, I'm sure it's the same for you, when I'm talking to clients right now and they are stuck and I don't know what to do, how to pivot my business or my company or my team, take them back to values, because you can make the wrong decision, but if you make it in line with your values, you can sleep at night, because who knows what the right decision is right now. And from a format perspective, don't have a ton of them, because we want people to be able to remember them and access them, so that they are more of a mnemonic tool to help people remember what's important and how they should be behaving. The problem is, in a lot of organizations, what they say their values are different than the reality of what shows up. And we see a couple of problems. One, either values are super generic and meaningless and people don't connect to them and therefore they're impotent. Or they've got organizations have values that the leaders are not honoring themselves, they're not walking the talk. And of course, everything flows down from the top. So if the leaders aren't honoring and living the values, of course, nobody else in the organization will, and the culture will not be reflective of the values that look so pretty on the wall and on the website. So for a few examples, sometimes what we see the values saying are, oh, we are such a customer-centric organization. Customer centricity is our number one value. But then what do we see transpire? Decisions being made time and time again that emphasize profit over quality. Doesn't sound like customer centricity to me. Another example, let's just take one more. Innovation. That's like the buzzword of the 21st century, right? Oh, innovation, we're innovative. Well, okay, if the behavior of your teams is being afraid of change and a preponderance to maintain the status quo, well, where's the freaking innovation, right? So we want values that match what is stated and what's actually demonstrated. And again, we could spend years doing this. I'm going to share just a couple of examples of companies that are known for having strong, creative, powerful values that really do define their culture and are one of the primary reasons for their kick-ass results. One of my favorites is Ultimate Software. It's a cloud computing company actually in South Florida. You can see they've turned their values into the acronym STRONG. And year after year, they are voted on Fortune's Best Places to Work list above and beyond any company in Silicon Valley. Sorry, Californians. The other one we wanted to highlight today was one of our favorite restaurateurs, Jose Andres, who owns the Think Food Group. And you may know him as the celebrity chef who, every time there's a natural disaster, sends meals down to feed all the people who are suffering during that time. So extremely generous. His values done very differently, but no less impactful. They've got a shorter list of values, but the values are more specific because they've got some meat on the bones to help people really, really embrace them. And now we want to just kind of do a little inventory of ourselves. Like, are we walking and talking the values that we hold both as individuals and as leaders of a team or contributors to a team?
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that a lot of times, again, in crisis, you might be used to honoring a value and then all of a sudden you can't. And it's not because you're intentionally not walking the talk. It's because you have to reinvent a new way of doing it. So I have a lot of clients who really value direct communication and checking in with their teams. And because their teams are remote, until we have this conversation, they didn't realize, wow, I'm really not honoring that communication value. So how can I do it a little bit differently?
That's right. Yeah. And I'll just say for me, I'm super excited that I'm honoring some values that I don't honor when I'm super busy and on the road all the time. My values of self-care and continuous learning right now are on fire. I'm learning Spanish. I'm learning how to salsa dance. I got my road bike out. I haven't ridden my road bike in 5 years. So definitely those values are being honored. My saboteur, my inner critic tells me that my value of achievement is not being honored right now because a lot of my client work has been canceled or postponed. I know that's not true, but I'm just being transparent about, you know, kind of what shows up in my head when I think about the values that I may or may not be honoring during this unique time. I invite any of you to reflect on that either in the chat room or unmute yourself and just give us a quick example of a value that you're really honoring and maybe a value that's harder to honor right now, just given the circumstances.
Hey, this is Ceci Borjas calling from the University of Miami. Hi, Shani. Hi, Jenny. I was thinking about this as you were explaining your case. I was thinking, wow, you know, interesting, and you brought it down from the organizations that you admire to what we can do and what we should do. And I was thinking of being a team member. Like, you know, we work at the university and one of the values is teamwork. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a very valuable objective and goal. And I was thinking, wow, I haven't checked with some of the team members and see how they're doing and offer help if they need help. So thank you so much for making me think about that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Ceci, thanks, for sharing.
Yeah.
Anyone else, a value that you're really in touch with right now, or maybe a value you're like, oh yeah, let me dial that one in a little bit better. Yeah.
We have some chat responses. So we have someone spending quality home time with her boys, which is great. Respect for my space, honoring. I'm struggling with freedom as I don't feel that free these days. Yeah. And that's a big one too. So it can be helpful to think, you know, are there other ways that I can honor my freedom instead of the ways that I typically do? So perhaps it's not the same way. Someone else is saying, I'm really leaning into my family value and finding loads of interesting ways to connect with my extended family. Social isolation has drawn me closer.
Love that.
So, yeah. It's and again, none of us kind of wish for this to happen. And, you know, what can we learn from it? What is life trying to teach us now in terms of, again, connecting more with family or doing more mountain biking or maybe loosening the hold of the achievement Goldman Sachs saboteur, Shani, in your case?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because what Veronique wrote about freedom, and Jen, you alluded to this, and we're going to kind of finish on this note. So just planting a little seed here, I did a Zoom call last night with one of my best friends who I haven't seen in 6 weeks, hashtag because social distancing. And she said, God, you're such a butterfly. How does it feel to have your wings clipped right now? And I said, you know what? I actually don't feel that way at all. I've just redefined what freedom of, you know, being a butterfly looks like right now. Instead of getting on airplanes and visiting 5 continents this year, it's more exploring my own hobbies more thoroughly this year. So that's a really key thing is, how do you pivot the meaning of it? Because there's a million ways to interpret a value and redefine success. And I will leave it at that because we're going to go there.
Yeah, and when we do have one more chat conversation talking about having been laid off, I now feel free and I'm growing stronger through the creating of my next steps. Awesome. Which again is something that typically Shani and I both do a lot of work with clients on what is my life purpose, what brings me fulfillment, what brings me joy. And life gets so busy that it's hard to take time to have those conversations. And now I hear a lot of people having those, not by choice, but almost by necessity or because they have extra time. So there is good that comes out of this. Yeah. All right. So this is an exercise that we are going to do in a bit, but first I want to explain what this circle is all about. We are calling it embodying values. And again, we've been talking a lot about values and how do we embody them? So just as we embodied our own personal definition of success and empowerment, how can we truly embody our values, both at work, in our families, and by ourselves? So this chart, I'm just going to throw in a bunch of values here that we saw with some of the companies. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just using these as examples. So you can see trust is a big one, fun, passion, customer focused, communication. So one thing that you can do with, again, any group, your friends, your family, your teams, is explore the stated values you have. And then ask yourself, what would it really be like to fully stand in that value? For here, I just circled trust. And this can be a really useful exercise if you're challenged by something, if you're challenged by a relationship or a business problem, especially for leadership, when you say, oh my gosh, how can I show up better as a leader? You can ask yourself, what would it be like if I literally turn the volume way, way up on trust? So I'm in a land where I am 100% trust all the time. I got my trust goggles on and that's all I think about. And a lot of times just focusing and being conscious about that can really lead to some new solutions.
Yep.
And we're gonna do a fun exercise. Shani, I don't know if you had anything to add to that. It looked like
it's funny, Jen and I were actually trying this out with each other when we were creating the concept and she's like, okay, let's make sure it works before we do it. with the whole group, you know. And so she said, what's something that's challenging you right now? And so I gave her a client situation, actually, a client that has been like not completely unresponsive, but way less responsive than normal. And then the question was, okay, if I stand in my value of trust, what does that bring to the situation? I'm like, okay, trusting that our relationship has a solid foundation, trusting that I shouldn't take it personally, trusting that she's got a lot going on, just like everybody else does right now. And like, even just that one question and leading into a value that I espouse really helped me just be like, okay, on to the next worry.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it seems so simple. It's not always easy, but trying these simple things can really bring new information to you.
Yep.
All right. Now we are going to play around with this a little bit. And for those of you who were on our last call, I know it was at the end, but we talked about some clever roles, you know, holding the elephant in the room and the one who was going to call people out when they were going down the rabbit hole. For this exercise, we have come up with some clever values. So not only can you explore the values that you traditionally have as an organization, but what would it be like to come up with some new values? And basically, it's asking, what would a new perspective look like for you? Mm-hmm. And we of course could have gone on forever. We did pick four. So the first value, given the name of our webinar series, was love.
Exactly.
So hashtag what would it be dumb. Like? Yeah. Hearts. And again, not romantic love, although that could be a perspective, but compassion and connection with people. What would it be like to truly stand there? The second one we came up with was deep democracy, which is a term from our organization and relationship coaching training. And what this means, as you can see with these people here, is that everyone in the system, on the team, in the family, has a voice. And it's not necessarily their voice, it is a voice on the team. Oftentimes, especially with more introverted people, you hear that, oh, they're thinking something, but they don't want to say it, or it might be controversial. And it's really acknowledging that every single thing that has to be said is going to come from a person, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't belong to that person, it belongs to the team. So this value is really saying we value and want to hear from every point of view on this team.
Yeah. Let me just interject real quick. Okay. The other thing about deep democracy is the person doesn't actually have to be in the room for us to invite their voice in, because there's all sorts of ghosts, if you will. I mean, let's just think about the Christmas Carol, right? The ghosts of Christmas past. There are past bosses and past colleagues that have impact on the system and on the culture. Well, let's hear from them. Maybe we need to hear from clients or vendors or strategic partners. And so get creative with deep democracy. And it doesn't, and if you're representing that voice, that doesn't mean you are their voice or that you believe their voice. You're just stepping into it and acting as if they were in the room. What would they say? So that there's a completeness to it.
Exactly. This one, freak flag, is one of our personal favorites as well. It's just, how can I be weird? I know in our family, the word weird is a compliment. That's not always the case. How can I really just step in and be my unique self and hold that freak flag and not worry about conforming to what others think or how they might be?
And that's a value. Oh, sorry to interrupt one more time.
Oh, no.
That's a value from Kimpton Hotels, actually. That's kind of where we got the idea. Not stealing, borrowing.
Yeah, and then the last one is disturbance as ally, which is very relevant for this pandemic, is how can we look at a challenge, a villain, as it were, and we're going to talk about that more in the next webinar, and really say, what is the opportunity there? How can I make this my friend? And we've even heard today how, because of job situations, layoffs, extra time, we've seen some things come out of the woodwork that are actually positive that haven't seen the light of day for a while. All right, we are going to do an exercise now where we are going to embody some of these values just for fun. And again, you can do it with these, you can do it with any value. The first question that we have for you is, look at this list of four. Which clever value here seems easiest for you to embrace? And you can just write it down on a piece of paper. So is it love? Is it freak flag? Is it deep democracy? Or is it disturbances ally? Which one do you say, you know what? I got that one. It's good. Freak, freak flag is a good one for me because I don't mind being weird. And then the second question is, which of them seems hardest to embrace? Which of them seems a little bit uncomfortable or a little challenging? And just jot that one down. And we are going to put you in a breakout group for 6 or 7 minutes to discuss with a partner. Let's just get back to that slide. I think we need to just get back to the...
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so the first question that we have for you is this. Think of a challenging situation. And again, it can be a frustration at work, it can be a frustration at home, a challenging big issue, a challenging small issue, just something where you feel a little bit stuck right now. And in your group of two, you are going to talk with your partner about what would be possible if you stood firmly in that easy value, so whichever one of these was easiest for you to adopt. And then what would be possible if you stood firmly in the hard value, the one that it was a little bit harder to adopt? Does anyone have any questions on that before you do the breakout groups? You can unmute yourself or ask the questions in the chat. And Chica has put those questions in the chat. So if you want to jot those down or copy them, she is giving you those steps. No questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if you can give us an example.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Jen, you want to ask me?
Sure, I'll ask you. Okay, so hi, Shani.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah, so think of a challenging situation.
Yep.
And share it with me, just bottom line, just in a sentence or so.
Okay. The challenging situation right now is I've got some serious illnesses in my family, my father and my stepmom.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And it's COVID, so yeah. I can't, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's a very difficult time for that. And which of these, actually, we have a question to explain the freak flag value again, which I'll do as soon as we're finished with this example. Which of these four values would you find easy to adopt, Shani?
Love,
okay. Yeah. And which one of these seems a little harder for you to adopt in general?
Well, freak flag. And maybe we can explain freak flag right now and kill two birds with one stone.
Okay.
Like with my family, you know, like it's a little bit harder to like, so freak flag is like, what's like your really authentic, eccentric part of you that you don't necessarily share with everybody, but it's really powerful. Like it's enrolling for people. And so like, what's a part of me I could bring to caring for my parents during this time that is maybe something I keep a little more hidden.
So let's go with the easy one first. So if you were to fully stand in the perspective of love, so imagine you have your love glasses and you put them on and everything you see through this lens of love. It's almost like love is permeating your entire world. When you're standing in that perspective and that land of love, what might be possible to bring to the challenge with your parents?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the perspective I've been standing in this whole time, which is like, I love them and it's a priority to help, to, you know, and not just help with the physical stuff, but help with the mental, emotional stuff and be there. And love is what's helped me make it a priority over other things that I have going on and doing the drive.
Okay. So you feel like it sounds like you've been in that perspective pretty much.
Yeah.
What might be possible if you stood in your freak flag perspective? So imagine you are in this place where all you're doing is showing your uniqueness and your eccentricities and you're just kind of showing up as authentically, freakishly yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm going to answer this in a funny way first. I am probably not going to show up at their house in my South Beach club clothes.
Okay. That might be a little too scary.
which, you know, is a little bit of my freak flag. But, you know, I could absolutely show up with, you know, some of the things that make me laugh, that maybe I haven't shared with them before, just to, you know, because I thought, oh, they won't get it, or they're the different generation. Like, maybe just share the things that bring me joy.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you said, like, and this was actually the point, I don't know if you intentionally did it, but a lot of times when we have a challenge, we kind of stand in the perspective that we're used to, right? So for you, you were in love, and it sounded like it didn't really bring that much information. And when we introduce another value that you're a little less comfortable with or wouldn't typically stand in, it can change things. And who knows what'll happen if you bring that part of yourself to your parents.
Yeah.
Even if it brings some joy to them or some laughter or some drama, who knows?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, I want to get, in the interest of time, I want to get these people to their group. So again, with your partner, just explore a challenge you're having and then see what happens if you bring some of these values in, ones that are hard and ones that are easy.
Yeah. So I'm going to trigger the room right now, 6 minutes. So 3 minutes each, just a quick pair share, and we'll see you in about 6 minutes.
We're back.
Yes.
Oh, so only not everyone's back, because I think some people.
Yeah.
But while we're waiting for the others to come back, does anyone have an experience they'd like to share, or any discoveries from their discussions?
I'm happy to share. My name is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, and I was, I believe, serendipitously paired with Key, and he was sharing about some of his experience, and it was so deeply connected to what I'm experiencing. I'm the one who was laid off from an organization that I had been with for 8 years and 8 months. Which is a very uncomfortable place for me, or non-status quo, I went immediately to disturbance as an ally.
Mm.
And it has empowered me to grow and see myself in ways that it's just been amazing. It's like everything I've been doing in the years of professional and personal development have landed me right here. And so now, in this new creation of what is my life going to be, what's my next step, how am I going to be in the world, what are my gifts, I applied for this amazing job that I think is amazing, and I wrote a cover letter that brought my mom to tears.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I believe the cover letter was my freak flag.
Right.
Because it... I spoke in a way that was so upright, so true for myself. And I was even being a little cheesy in it, and I acknowledged the cheese in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me wants to fall back to, there are hundreds of people who have applied for this job. There's no way they're going to see it. But I have to look at my mom's comment of who would read this cover letter and not reach out to you. So I had to leave my inner critic, who I really have been attracted to my whole life, and step into something that is really driving me in such an amazing way. Yeah. So it was really awesome to be there.
Thank you so much, Robin. I wish we could hear more, but I'm noticing that it's 1 o'clock, but thank you so much for sharing, and best of luck. And I love that you wrote that freak flag letter, and that's what makes us stand out, right? So that's amazing. And I just want to point out that, Chica, if you could post the link to the worksheet, and if it doesn't show up here, you can find it on the website. And here we have our new definition of success, and you can come up with your own. The one we came up with, it's stuff that we've talked about today, is if you can evict your inner critic and you can connect with your best self, and you can honor your values, then at the end of the day, you can say, check, I had a successful day. And again, we know there are things that aren't happening. There's money that's not being made. There are clients that are being lost. A lot of really scary stuff. And if we can connect to a level of success that makes us feel empowered and joyful, then that's how we make things happen. And that's how we can kind of take ourselves up from you know, that anxiety or some a place that might be troubling. And so the homework here, for those of you who have 30 more seconds, is going to be practicing that. Practice evicting your inner critic, activating your best self, encouraging your team to embody its values, and rewriting your own definition for success. I see Chica posted the link. Thank you so much. And thanks for being with us, everyone. We look forward to seeing you next week when we will be talking about leading with openness, vision, and energy, and what's love got to do with it.